Glory be to God forevermore. Thank God for the word of his grace. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word that lives and abides forevermore. Hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast or podcast, as the case may be. Hallelujah. In case you do not know, this is a broadcast that happens every morning, Monday to Saturday, but then it's also being uploaded as a podcast on certain platforms. Hallelujah. So it depends on when you are tuning in. It depends on when you are listening to this. It could be just a broadcast, a podcast. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's the week 3 on this broadcast. And this particular week, our focus is on studying the concept of forgiveness in Christ Jesus, remission of sins. From the day one, we've made a distinction between the idea of just pardon and remission of sins. Hallelujah. We've answered the question, why did Jesus need to die? I mean, humans forgive themselves. We forgive ourselves without the need for sacrifice. God instructs us to forgive. God instructs us to let go the offenses of one another, to cover the sins of one another. So why does God require sacrifice? And then we saw that God had always been eager to forgive. God had always pardoned people. God had always overlooked offenses and let things go. God is not one to hold things against people. And then we see that the reason why there's a need for sacrifice is because the problem of humanity goes beyond pardon. Hallelujah. The problem of humanity goes beyond what? The pardon. So we've been emphatic about remission of sins as freedom and liberty from Satan's stronghold. Freedom and liberty from Satan's influence and manipulation. Hallelujah. So it isn't just about being pardoned. Pardon changes nobody. Pardon does not change the state of the sinner. If you commit an offense and we tell you, oh, you are forgiven, you know, go and do it no more. That's why in John chapter 8, Jesus says to the woman, you are not condemned, go and sin no more. You know, go and sin no more is not the gospel. Hallelujah. Jesus said that to the woman prior to his death and resurrection. You won't find any apostle preaching the gospel in the book of Acts and telling people to go and sin no more. Why? Because you don't go and sin no more when you receive the gospel. You are brought into the family of God. So it's not the question of you going and trying to not sin. It's not about you going and sinning no more. It's about you coming into the family of God and going no more. Hallelujah. So it's a different thing entirely. So pardon does not change the state of the sinner. The sinner remains the same. If you do something wrong and you are forgiven, you are still the same person who is given the second chance. But in remission of sins, the state of the sinner is changed. Hallelujah. The offender is transformed. His offenses are not just pardoned. The offender himself is transformed. He is no longer a sinner. He becomes a righteous man in the sight of God. His state is altered. His position is changed. His location is altered. Hallelujah. Is conveyed from one place to another, is rescued. Glory be to God. So that is remission of sins. And until you see remission of sins in this light, you won't appreciate the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Listen, there are many folks who have departed from the Christian faith, who have departed from the doctrine of the Christian faith, because they fail to understand why Jesus had to die. They begin to ask questions like, why did Jesus have to die, really? I mean, why can't a loving God just let go, just forgive? Why was there a necessity? Why was there the necessity of sacrifice? Hallelujah. People are asking these questions. As basic as it sounds, this is a question that needs to be answered. Glory be to God. So remission of sins is deeper than pardon. It's a state in which the sinner is delivered from slavery to Satan and bondage to sin. Hallelujah. It's one and the same. Satan and sin are the same. Glory be to God. Just like Christ and righteousness are the same. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, you need to understand this very carefully from the scriptures. We need to understand this very carefully from the word of God. We saw Matthew 26, it's been a text of the Bible. I've been repeating all through this teaching. Matthew 26, 28, Jesus speaking, he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we saw that the word remission is the word aphesis in the Greek. Aphesis means to deliver. It means to set free. It means to release from bondage. Glory to God. It means to release from bondage to sin. It's a deliverance. We saw how Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those who are captives, to preach deliverance to the captives. And we saw that the word deliverance there is the same word as phesis in the Greek. And that's the remission of sins. And we saw how Jesus gave mandate to his apostles at Luke 24, 44 to 47 to go into all the world and to preach repentance and remission of sins. Now, if Jesus says God has anointed him to preach deliverance to captives and he commissions men to preach remission of sins, that's because deliverance and remission of sins are one and the same. Hallelujah. Deliverance to captives and remission of sins are one and the same. They are the same. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We saw it also that in the same Luke 4:18, where Jesus says to set at liberty those who are oppressed, the word liberty there is the same word as phesis, to release from bondage. Praise God. And I quoted yesterday 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Again, you find liberty as a word that is used to define the ministry of Christ. What happens to them that receive the gospel? Men are set at liberty in Christ Jesus. Because that's the concept of remission of sin. By way of reminder, let me walk you through some of the scriptures we've quoted or cited earlier in this teaching. Colossians 1:13 to 14. Bible says he has delivered us from the power of death of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So you see, there's a deliverance. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. The power of darkness refers to Satan's dominion, Satan's rule and authority, Satan's influence. We are delivered from this, and then we are translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So you see that there's a change of location and position. Hallelujah. There's a change of identity. We no longer belong to the power of darkness. We are no longer governed. We are no longer under the influence. We are no longer subject to the influence and the control of the power of darkness. We have now been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. A change of location and identity, of position. Verse 14 now says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So what did we have in the kingdom of darkness? What did we have in the power of darkness? Bondage. That's why we are described as being delivered from the power of darkness. And so what do we have in the kingdom of his dear son? Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So in the kingdom of the dear son, what we have is redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the redemption and the remission of sins is a deliverance from the power of darkness. Glory be to God. So we also saw this scripture, very important verse of the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important verse of the Bible. John 5:19. These are very important verses of the Bible. Not like all verses are not important, but I mean with respect to what we are studying today. 1 John 5:19. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bible says, we know that we have God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The old world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The old world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The old world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Hallelujah. So the old world is where? Under the sway of the wicked one. Hallelujah. In fact, the KJV says, and the old world lieth in wickedness. Amen. Lieth in wickedness. The word sway there speaks of control, influence. That's the state and the condition of the old world. And then we see at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2:14. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Bible says, in as much then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So there's a him that had the power of death. Hallelujah. There's a him that had the power of death. So that when we read in Romans 5 verse 12, through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, there's a power behind that death. There's a personality behind that death. Hallelujah. Just like the Son of God has come and has given us eternal life, and in Christ Jesus we find life and light, in Satan, humanity was held captive and bound in darkness and death. Hallelujah. So the Son of Man came, the Son of God came rather, identified with humanity. Verse 14 of Hebrews 2. He shared in flesh and blood that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Hallelujah. So there's a need for deliverance. Now look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? To bondage. That is the very thing we've been saying ever since the beginning of this teaching. That remission of sins is a deliverance from bondage, a setting free, liberty to those who are captives. So Jesus came to destroy the power, to destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and do what? And in that work, he releases those who all through their lifetime were subject to the fear of death, you know, who through the fear of death were subject to bondage. Those who all their lifetime, who through the fear of death were subject to bondage. Hallelujah. It's a deliverance. It's a deliverance. Acts 26 verse 18. Look at this one quickly. Acts 26 verse 18. Glory to God. This is, I'm sure we read this yesterday again. But you know, these things have to sink. One of the things that I find plaguing a lot of believers today is this idea of trying to move on to many things on time. You just quickly want to move on from a particular teaching. It doesn't make sense. The only way to be established in the truth is to hear it over and over and over again. In fact, after this series, the idea is that after this teaching, some scriptures should naturally just stay with you. Why? Because you heard them quoted at you over and over again, explained over and over again, till, you know, they sink into your subconscious. Acts 26, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking to Paul concerning the ministry that he was receiving. It says, to open their eyes, let me read contextually now, from verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles from whom I now send you, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. How do we open men's eyes? By the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Men's eyes are blinded in the reading of the Old Testament. They cannot see because of its ministry of condemnation and accusation and death. But when a man turns to the Lord, when a man sees the gospel of Jesus, his eyes are opened. Verse 18, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Praise God. From the power of Satan to God. That they may receive what? An inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Glory be to God. Now look at this carefully. Look at this carefully. When he says to turn them, the word turn there is the word that means to convert them. A conversion has to take place. And the word power as used here is the same word, exousia, which in the Greek means authority. Hallelujah. Authority, force. Authority and force. That means that humanity is under the authority of Satan. Humanity is under, there's a stronghold. Hallelujah. There's a stronghold. In fact, it is not that people do not want to be free, it is that they cannot be free. That's the idea of releasing men from the bondage of Satan. That's the idea of delivering men by the power of God. It is not that people don't want to be free any longer, but they are now slaves. They have now been held captive. And there is nothing within their power, within their own willpower and effort that can deliver them and liberate them from the power of the evil one. Praise God. So it is by the gospel men are delivered. And that's the remission of sins. Hallelujah. That is the remission. It's a delivering. It's a setting free. It's announcement of freedom and an actual setting free by the power of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so yesterday we also saw 1 John chapter 4, chapter 3 rather, 1 John 3, verse 8 to 13. And we saw how that the sin that John was talking about is the sin of unbelief. We got to 1 John chapter 3 from John 8, where Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And then at verse 44, he spoke of them as being children of the devil. You have of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So he refers to them as children of the devil. And then I pointed out that the reason why Jesus referred to them as the children of the devil was because they were objecting and opposing his ministry. They were opposing faith. Hallelujah. Because Jesus continually pleaded with men and called on men to believe in him. And the problem of the Jews was unbelief. They rejected him as the Messiah. They failed to see him as the man that, you know, as the one that God has sent as the Messiah of the world. John 1:11, he came to his own did not receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the will of man, of the will of flesh, nor of the will of blood, but of God. Hallelujah. So the problem of the Jews was unbelief. In fact, this was what Jesus battled continually till the end of his ministry on the face of the earth. Unbelief. So it was in that context Jesus refers to the Jews as children of the devil. Now that now took us to 1 John chapter 3, which is what I want to further explain in today's teaching. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 8 to 13. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. So a man is a child of the devil. A man is under the influence of Satan because of his unbelief. 1 John 3. And a man is delivered from that power of Satan when he believes the gospel. So he drops unbelief for faith in Christ. 1 John 3 from verse 8. Bible says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. That he might destroy the works of the devil. So yesterday I said, when Bible says he who sins is of the devil, it will be a careless handling of scriptures to run off with this verse of the Bible and begin to preach that everybody that sees any kind of sin at all is of the devil. You see a believer struggling with addiction, you say, you have the devil. Hallelujah. That would be funny, because no apostle of Jesus Christ used this verse like this. No apostle of Jesus Christ referred to people as being of the devil because of their flaws. Hallelujah. So, we must examine carefully what this sin is in particular. Now, starting from verse 18 of chapter 2, we see that John began to discuss the ministry of the Antichrist. From verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Hallelujah. Those who try to deceive you. So he's talking about the ministry of the Antichrist. And he says, we have an anointing from the Holy One, verse 27. The anointing which abides in us, which we have received from him, abides in us. And we do not need that anyone teach us. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Hallelujah. So he says, we have what it takes to discern the ministry of the Antichrist. Why? Because of the anointing of God on the inside. So he begins to describe the ministry of the Antichrist. Look at verse 28. And now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So he just spoke about the ministry of the Antichrist. This is what he said till he got to chapter 3. And then says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Now he makes a very, very vital statement. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. So you see that there's a contrast from the first verse of chapter 3. We are God's children by virtue of his love for us. The world does not know us because the world did not know Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen carefully. Have you seen that the question of our identity is not in doubt here? It is clearly and explicitly stated. Beloved, now we are children of God. It is not a function of what we have done. How did we become children of God? Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So we are not children of God because we love God. We are not children of God because we love the brethren. We are children of God because God loves us. And we have believed the love that God has for us. Hallelujah. So now we are children of God. We are not going to be children of God because we love the brethren. We are children of God because we have received the love that God has bestowed upon us. So the question of our identity, you know, the facts of our identity is well stated. It is in no doubt. We are children of God. Hallelujah. Verse 3 now says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The way to see this verse is not, because I have this hope in me, let me begin to work hard at purifying myself. The word purify there means to make clean. I am not trying to work hard to purify myself as he is pure. It is that the hope that I have received has purified me. Hallelujah. The hope that I have received has purified me just as Jesus is pure. And because you have to read in context. For being children of God, we're already like him. Hallelujah. You can't be a child of God and be striving to be pure just as Jesus is pure. For being a child of God, and that is the hope that he's talking about. For being a child of God, this hope that is in us has purified us as he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's exactly how Peter puts it at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22 to 23. Listen carefully. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Since you have purified your souls. That is the reason why you expected to love the brethren is because you have purified your souls. How did we purify our souls? It says in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit. How did we obey the truth? Verse 23. Having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So our faith in Christ Jesus, the new birth, is the purification. Back to 1 John chapter 3. Glory be to God. 1 John chapter 3. We're explaining the sin that John is speaking about in chapter 3 of 1 John. So, that's it. We've got it. Verse 3. Now, look at verse 4. Whoever commits sin, commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Hallelujah. Then he says in verse 5, and you know that it was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Glory be to God. It was manifested to take away our sins. The word sins, translated sins there, sometimes appears in the English in plural form. But then in most places also it appears in singular form. Because the Greek word translated sins here is the word that just means an offense. Hallelujah. And when it says Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, there's a particular sin that Jesus took away. That's why John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. A singular sin, not the sins, collective sins of the world. Even if we say sins, it's going to be in the context of individual unbelief. The sin of the world, a particular sin, a definite sin, is what Jesus came to take away from humanity. Hallelujah. That's why you discover that every other forms of sins in the Bible, listen carefully, is referred to as the works of the flesh, which the believer must deliberately walk in the Spirit to not fulfill. But as touching a particular sin, what is that sin? John chapter 16. Look at this quickly. Glory to God. John 16 verse 8 to 9. And I'm going to show you something very quickly in Galatians 5 also. Galatians chapter 5. But let's see John chapter 16 verse 8 tonight. Praise God. Oh, God's word is alive. God's word is alive. God's word is alive. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, from verse 8 to 9. I'll read. Bible says, in fact, let me read from verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. So what's the sin? Unbelief. He will convict the world of sin because they fail to believe in me. He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So the problem of sin in the world is unbelief. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Glory be to God. So let me quickly show you something in Galatians 5. You notice in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19, Paul begins to speak about the works of the flesh, which are evident, which are made manifest. Galatians chapter 5, I'll read from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. So he mentions all these things and says they are all the works of the flesh. But have you noticed something? That in all these things listed, unbelief is not mentioned. Look at it again. Unbelief is not mentioned. You know why? Because unbelief is not the work of the flesh. I'll say that again. Unbelief is not the work of the flesh. Unbelief was introduced to man by Satan. Hallelujah. Just the same way faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. A man cannot claim to have faith all by himself. A man cannot claim to originate faith. A man cannot claim to bring faith to the word of God. On the contrary, faith comes from the word of God to man. Hallelujah. That's why it is called the faith of the Son of God. Praise God. Faith comes by hearing. The same way unbelief came to man by hearing. Just go back to Genesis chapter 3. What happened in Genesis? It was not Adam or Eve that sat down to begin to think of how to disobey God. They didn't think of disobeying God or doubting his word. It was introduced to man. So unbelief is the only unique sin to Satan. Unbelief is the only sin that Satan has unique to himself. It is the only sin that Satan introduced to the world of man. That is the sin that entered the world through one man. The sin of unbelief. Because he was able to persuade them contrary to the word of God. Hallelujah. As God said, they said, well, God said this and this. Is no. It is not true. God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will open. He lied against the word of God. And Adam and Eve believed what he said. So believing what the devil said as opposed to what God said is unbelief. So unbelief is not something that came from them. It's not a neutral thing. It came from outside. It came from Satan. Glory be to God. So when he says evil sins is of the devil, there's a particular sin. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John 3 again. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, he's describing the character of this sin. This particular sin is sin by which a man is prevented from knowing and seeing Christ. Hallelujah. This is not every kind of sin. This particular sin means you don't know Jesus and you have not seen him. Hallelujah. You can't look at a Christian who is struggling with habits and you say, you don't know God. You can't say that. The only sin by which, you know, the only sin that qualifies a man to be void of God's knowledge and, you know, qualifies a man to be destitute of God's knowledge and wisdom as revealed in Christ Jesus is the sin of unbelief. Why? Because unbelief is darkness. Hallelujah. Unbelief is darkness. The man that is in unbelief is the man that is veiled. Have you seen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. If our gospel be hidden, be veiled, or heed. It is heed to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The only people that have not seen Christ and known Christ are those who are yet in unbelief. So, a lot of times people say the book of 1 John is quite difficult. It's not. Just take note of the things he's saying. Take note of his descriptions, the words used and employed. You would understand the message. Evil sins. This particular sin means you have not seen Jesus and you have not known him. And I said to you, the only sin by which a man can be said to have not known God or to have not seen God is the sin of unbelief. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Glory to God. Verse 7. In fact, let me quickly show you something at 1 John 5. That's why John now makes a distinction in his letter. He makes a distinction between different sins. Hallelujah. Not like it was grading sin, but just to let you know that there's a consequence for a particular sin that is not the consequence of every kind of sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, right? He says, and there is sin not leading to death. So he gives you a distinction. There's a particular sin that brings death. Though all unrighteousness is sin, not every sin leads to death. Hallelujah. So back to 1 John chapter 3. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3. It now goes to verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The KJV says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. What does it mean to do righteousness in this context? Hallelujah. Note that the doing righteousness here is that which makes you become righteous as he is righteous. We're going to answer this shortly. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. Evil sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we have the works of the flesh, and we have the works of the devil. Hallelujah. The devil has sinned from the beginning. What is the sin of the devil from the beginning? I said that earlier on. What is that sin? Look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. This particular sin, he cannot. See, when he says he can, it means it's impossible to commit this sin. What is this sin? Hallelujah. We'll answer shortly. We've answered already. But then, we're going to see it well. We're going to answer with verse 7. That says it that doeth righteousness is righteous even as is righteous. What does it mean to do righteousness? Look at verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. What does it mean to do righteousness? Now you see that verse 10 makes a distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. So it is first about position. It is first about identity. It is not first about what they were doing or what, you know, the actions. It's about the identity, children of God, children of the devil, which now further reflects in the things they do. Hallelujah. First about the position. Glory to God. Remember John 8:44? You have your father, the devil. And that was because of unbelief. Now look at verse 12. Let me read from verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So what does it mean to do righteousness? No, because the example he cites is Cain and Abel. What does it mean to do righteousness? What righteousness did Abel do? Hallelujah. What exactly was the righteousness that Abel do? What was the works of Abel that was righteous? Hebrews in chapter 11. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and 4. Glory be to God. Hebrews 11 verse 4. Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. So why was Abel declared righteous in the sight of God? By faith, Hallelujah. The sacrifice he offered was a type of the sacrifice of Jesus. So it was an evidence of his faith in Christ Jesus, faith in the gospel, faith in God's method of justification. And that is the work of Abel that was righteous, as opposed to the work of Cain that was unrighteous. Back to 1 John chapter 3. So what does it mean to do righteousness? To believe. Hallelujah. Just like Abel. And he explains, you know, he shows you the source, the origin of Cain. At 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Who was of the wicked one. Who was of the wicked one. So he shows you. So that means that unbelief is inspired by Satan. The unbelief that Cain demonstrated was inspired by Satan, by Satan's influence in his life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So what sin did the devil commit from the beginning also? The sin of unbelief. He didn't believe in the word of God. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says he does not stand in the truth. He's a murderer from the beginning and does not abide in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. So it was because Satan did not believe in the word of God that he introduced this same unbelief to men. Satan himself did not believe God's word. He did not abide in the truth. Hallelujah. He rejected the truth. Glory be to God. So that's the sin that John is discussing in chapter 3. Hallelujah. And like I showed you yesterday, that's why he ends this at verse 13 by saying, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Hallelujah. So in this context, Cain is of the world and Abel is, you know, is a type of the believer today, of the man that is declared righteous in the sight of God. So this is not about believers hating themselves. This is about the world hating us because of our faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So the world hates us because of the spirit at work in them, just like Cain hated Abel because of the spirit at work in him. Praise God. So that is why, you know, for the believer, he has the capacity to love the brethren. When I find a believer who is working in strife, hostility, and, you know, working in some form of, you know, working contrary to his nature, I'll rather instruct him from the word of God rather than saying you're of the devil. He's not of the devil. I would instruct him because he's got the capacity to love the brethren. By default, intrinsic, there's a nature in him. It is so intrinsic, he has the capacity to love God and to love the brethren. Hallelujah. But you know, it's going to be foolhardy to be instructing the world to love the believer, to love God. They cannot. You know why? Because the spirit at work in them is the spirit that works enmity towards God. They cannot. They are hostile towards God, towards the things of God, towards faith. But the believer has the capacity to love because he is in the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. Such that it will even take false teaching to create animosity or hatred in the mind of a believer towards another believer. It will take false teaching. By default, he has the love of God in his heart and is able to love people, is able to love the brethren, is even able to love his enemies. Hallelujah. And if you ever find a believer not walking in love towards another believer, it won't be because of his faith. It will be based on other things, matters. But in the case of Cain and Abel, it was because of Abel's faith in God. And in the case of the world against us Christians in persecution, it is because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. No believer would hate another believer because of his faith in God. Why? Because he has also come to have faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can't be persecuting people for having what you have. You can't be hating on people because they believe just as you have come to believe. Glory be to God. So that's why in scriptures you see in some places that the word faith and love are always together. Faith and love are always together because love is a natural outcome. The love for the brethren is a natural outcome of our faith towards Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. The love for the brethren is a natural outcome of our faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you some places as we close today. Ephesians 1:15. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Glory to God. I trust that you've seen this truth. I trust that the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened in this teaching. If you have any questions, you could just drop it in the comment box if you are following this as a broadcast. Hallelujah. If you are listening to this as a podcast, then just do good to send us a message on any of the platforms you are streaming on. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. Glory to God. Look at this carefully. Bible says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Have you seen? Love for the saints is a byproduct of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6 and verse 23. Glory to God. Ephesians 6, 23. Bible says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love with faith. Love which is in the faith. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, 4. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because faith in Christ Jesus translates into love for the saints. It's a natural byproduct. Hallelujah. It's a natural byproduct. In fact, I'm going to show you something that Paul said to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Look at this now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Then I'll show you what I really want to show you at that Paul said in the same book. But let's see this carefully. Bible says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Hallelujah. The breastplate of faith and love. Now look at chapter 4, from verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Have you seen? You have no need for me to write to you. Like, see, it's not one of the things we should really teach. Hallelujah. Just like in the family that, you know, you were born in, naturally you just had sentiments, you know, you just had these sentiments, this emotional attachment to your siblings. The same way we are brought into the family of God, and it's only natural for us to love the brethren. Hallelujah. In fact, he says, you have no need for us to write to you that you should love one another, because you are taught by God to love one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why he said it will take false teaching to make believers start walking in strife towards themselves. Because naturally, when we come together, we pray together, we study God's word together, well, naturally, the byproduct of our faith, of our fellowship, will be love to ourselves, love towards one another. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 14. By this, I've not said we don't have to teach on the love walk. I'm only saying that it's one of the things that happen spontaneously and naturally, even if there's no teaching on it. There's a beloved brother in my local church that said this to me some time ago. He said he discovered that ever since he joined the church, I've not taught on walking in love. Yet, people are walking in love towards themselves. He himself has been a recipient of, you know, the love walk. He himself has seen himself walking in love towards people. He now made a statement. He said where he was coming from, even from way back on campus, they used to sing regularly. Their family song was on loving themselves, but they found it difficult to walk in love towards one another. And I told him, I said, the only difference is because in this place we emphasize the truth about redemption, what Jesus has done for us. And you know what? That truth in itself has the capacity to make you just naturally walk in love towards everybody. Hallelujah. So it's a byproduct of our faith in Christ Jesus. So if we gather regularly to learn of this faith, the natural thing that will flow out of that commitment will be love for the brethren. Hallelujah. First Timothy 1:14. Bible says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Faith and love together. 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. We have too many places. Philemon 1:5. Faith and love. Faith and love. Faith towards God. Love for the brethren. Love for the saints. Philemon chapter 1 verse 5. Philemon has just one chapter, so we can as well just say Philemon 5. Hallelujah. Philemon 5. Praise God. Philemon 5. So I'll read. Bible says, let me even start from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Faith towards Christ, love towards the saints. Hallelujah. It's a natural byproduct of our faith in God. So the sin that the believer cannot commit is the sin of unbelief. The sin that a man commits, and we say, this man, anyone who sins this sin, no, is of the devil is unbelief. Hallelujah. It's unbelief. The man that has believed the gospel has passed from death to life, and he has the capacity to love the brethren. Hallelujah. He will never persecute other believers because of their faith. Hallelujah. Because he also has the same faith. Glory be to God. Now, the believer has been delivered from this sin of the devil, from this unbelief, from this influence. His faith in Christ is the victory. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So our faith in Christ Jesus is the victory that has overcome the world, and this is the concept of remission of sins. Hallelujah. We've been delivered from Satan's hold. We've been delivered from Satan's influence. We've been rescued from Satan's stronghold. We've been called into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Tune in tomorrow and let's keep studying the concept of remission of sins. Hallelujah. We're not stopping anytime soon. We're going to really study and unravel this reality called remission of sins. Invite somebody, talk about it, put it on your wall, Facebook wall, on your WhatsApp status. Do a BC if you have the permission of people. Hallelujah. You know, and just invite people to have a great time in the word of God. God's word is happening here live and direct. Hallelujah. Our lives will not remain the same again. So have a beautiful day, being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the word of God, spiritual songs, and just make it a day of edification in Christ Jesus. And be a blessing to somebody also. Share your faith with somebody. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Listen, my friend, the world out there is dying. There's a drought. There's a scarcity of God's word, of the knowledge of Christ out there. Share the gospel with somebody. Reach out to somebody with the word of God. Share the gospel on your way to work. Share with a colleague at work, in your spare time at work, your break time at work. Just be a blessing to somebody today. See you in the next episode.